I'm pleased to be speaking today with Eric Blehm. Eric is the best-selling author and award-winning journalist, and we're going to be talking today about his upcoming book. Hello, Eric. It's good to connect with you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, who was Adam Brown, and what makes his story so remarkable? What did he overcome in his rise to the top tier of the SEAL teams?
Well, Adam Brown was a country boy. He grew up in Arkansas, a little town, and I often like to say that these little towns are kind of like the capillaries and veins that lead to the freeways and highways that nourish the heart of America. And truly, he is an individual who is the perfect example of a small town kid who makes good. He rose from a really dark place in his life as a young man, all the way up to the very top levels of the Navy SEALs. Some of the recent news events you've heard about is on the news, events in Pakistan. He was one of these guys who overcame so much to become a Navy SEAL. He was a kid who was fearless. Adam, at about age 22, got into the wrong crowd in his hometown, and he got addicted to crack cocaine. He ended up one day in a real dark place, stealing from his family, from his friends. He had 11 felony accounts against him, and his parents were just at a loss. They didn't know what to do. And they finally decided that they were going to have him arrested. They took the tough love approach, and they actually encouraged some of his friends who he had stolen some from, stolen a car, stolen checks, stolen some weapons, pawning things off, just in a horrible place in his life. He went to jail for 45 days, and that was the type of thing that he had to overcome. He had to rise up from that.
Now, why did Adam Brown's fellow operatives on the Navy's most elite SEAL teams say he lacked a fear bone in his body?
Well, you know, here's a perfect example. You go through BUDS training, which is kind of the first really difficult challenge to become a Navy SEAL down in Coronado, California. And there's three phases of it. There's one that's Hell Week, where they're basically hazed for about a week, no sleep. Very little sleep, and they are just physically challenged to the point of exhaustion. And usually 70% of a class will drop out. He had gotten through all two phases and to the third phase, and this is the part where all you really have to do at the third phase is not get injured. Don't get hurt. And it was during this phase that he was on the top of this big rocky hill, and a SEAL instructor told the group of guys was up there, "Pays to be a winner," is one of their sayings in BUDS, and he said, "Everybody run down this hill, get down this hill, and get to that bottom," pointed out a landmark, and said, "And get back to me, whoever gets up here, that pays to be a winner." Adam Brown, while everybody else is kind of shuffling their feet to get down this, what's essentially a cliff, all rocky terrain, just something where they're basically switchbacks, he took a running leap and dove off this hill, ran straight down it, full speed through this steep, rocky terrain, tumbling, falling. His buddies are watching him go. They think, what in the heck is he thinking? He's almost done with BUDS. He's going to make it. And here he's pushing himself to the end. Got up at the bottom, hit that landmark, and then jogged back up. He would have made it in half the time of anybody else. And that really is where his reputation began in the SEAL teams. He was this guy who would push it as hard as he could, no matter what. And he got injured throughout his career, and that's another interesting thing about why he was so fearless. He got his eye shot out in a training episode with a Sims round, kind of what they call a paint bullet that's on steroids. It's powered by gunpowder, and it slipped in between the side of his protective goggles in a close quarters combat drill, and it put his eye out. He ended up losing his eye, so he only had one eye, and he still decided, I'm going to stick in. That's what usually would end the career of a special ops soldier or SEAL. And in this case, Adam kept going. The guy was straight up, tough as nails and fearless, and that's what the men told me as I interviewed him and learned about him.
How was Adam Brown connected to the hunt for and eventual death of Osama bin Laden?
Well, as I said, when he rose to the top tier, the highest levels of the Navy SEALs, he was tasked with the mission, with his teammates. They were the guys who would go after the high-value targets within Al-Qaeda, within any of the terrorist networks, any of the insurgency networks in Afghanistan, the Taliban. He was deployed numerous times to both Iraq and Afghanistan. And for years, ever since he was a SEAL at the time of 9/11, And he, for the past, you know, 9 years before Adam passed away, was killed in combat, he was responsible for going after these targets that our intelligence network deemed the most critical in gathering all the intelligence that actually led up to the killing. It could have been a capture, but the killing of Osama bin Laden. And I'll tell you, he was this guy who he would go on these missions, these ops, and sometimes they would hit what they call a dry hole. That's meaning they would not find the person, the bad guy they were looking for, but they always found intelligence. And all these, their intelligence, especially from the team and the unit that he was involved in, were always the most helpful in adding up the pieces to the puzzle that led to, ultimately, bin Laden. He was memorialized by his fellow SEALs, by his family, by his friends. He had such a reputation. And one of the things that his buddies said at the end, right before, when he was killed in combat, they had like a warrior send-off in Afghanistan. They brought his body back to their compound. They lit a fire. They actually each took a piece of his blood-stained kit, his clothing items or his gear that was too blood-stained. They did not want to return it to the families. And they all put a piece into the fire. They each said words about him. And one of the things one of the guys said is that, first, they wanted everybody always to know that they would aspire to the example that you set for us, Adam, and we'll tell the young warriors who join us about you and the standards that you set. At his actual funeral, one of his fellow teammates said, addressed his brothers in arms, and he said, "Today we mourn the passing of our brother, and we celebrate his life and the example he set for us. Tomorrow we avenge him. Today we honor the passing of Adam's unconquerable soul into the eternal glory of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, and into the halls of Valhalla. Tomorrow we dispatch the souls of Adam's enemies to the hell that surely awaits them. Tomorrow we bring that hell to their doorstep." And so to bring this all full circle to, you know, current world events, just a day and a half after the president, current president, announced that Osama bin Laden had been killed, and he said that it was a certain SEAL team that had been responsible for the raid, that most dangerous mission into Pakistan, his family was just, his widow, his children, they were watching television, and they just broke into tears, because here it was a year later, and they knew that Adam had been in heaven watching over his team, his buddies. They could feel him there with them. And it was his team that ultimately got Osama bin Laden. And that really brings it full circle, and it brings the redemption of him turning around his life to not only be redemptive of his the flaws that he had lived as a younger man, but also he was instrumental in the vengeance and redemption of our country with the killing of Osama bin Laden personally. I mean, there isn't a team out there of special operations warriors who wouldn't have loved that mission, and the fact that it was Adam's team in the end really just says so much.
Now, Eric, finally today, how did Adam Brown express his faith while a member of the Navy SEAL community?
Well, Adam, so his devout Christian faith really matched his toughness and his fearlessness. Simply put, I would say Adam's Christian faith was the cornerstone upon which he built his life, and really it was a compass that he turned to for guidance. I think to truly live one's faith in word and in deed is a mighty and a daily struggle, and Adam embraced that struggle and devoted himself to it. What Adam did is what any Christian would do. He led by example. In that community of special ops warriors, you know, there are not a lot of Christians. There are a lot of ungodly people. Adam was both fearless, but he was also God-fearing, and he never kept it quiet, his faith it quiet. When he was at home, he would teach Sunday school to second graders at his local church. I mean, how many big Navy SEALs, did that fit the description that you've heard for, you know, Navy SEALs? Not really. He was the type of guy who really was, he was like a tender warrior. He really just led by example, and he made it a point in his final wishes on the form that they fill out in case something does happen to him. He said two things. He said, one, he wanted the world to know his testimony. He wanted people to know what he was like before he found Jesus Christ and started following that path. And that's a little story I'll add here real quick. But when he went through that dark period, he was at a point where he didn't know what to do. His parents didn't know what to do about him. And his parents actually said, "We're going to go to church." And that was really what turned Adam around. At the same time, Adam was in jail, and unbeknownst to his parents, he got to a point where he got down on his hands and knees and accepted Jesus Christ into his world, as he put it. He ended up going from jail directly to a weekend family Bible retreat with his father, a father-son Bible retreat. And it was kind of funny, because he was 22 years old at the time. His father and him showed up at this Bible retreat, and there were a bunch of 8- and 10-year-old boys with their dads, and here was Adam's dad with his 22-year-old son. And they went through this weekend and rededicated their lives to Jesus, and they, from there he went to Teen Challenge, which is a Christian-based recovery center for a year. And from that point forward, as his father put it, they didn't have a cross word. And this is coming back from a kid who all of a sudden had just became this kid who they did not trust. They were happier and more relaxed when he was in jail the first night. For the first time in like 3 years, they said, because at least they knew he was safe and they knew where he was. And this is a guy who turned himself around and said, "I'm going to make something of myself. I'm going to turn around, and I don't want you to be ashamed of me, Mom and Dad. I want you to be proud of me, and I want to live my life with the ideals of Christianity." And the whole family, it's really turned his whole family around. From this dark place, it's really been as far as a success story of faith, I can't think of a better one.
The story is fearless. It's a testament to the life of Adam Brown. Eric Blem has been my guest today. Man, what a powerful story. Eric, thank you so much.
Thank you.